Jesus Christ is risen. It's the good news all the world needs to hear, and you can help deliver the message. The Lutheran Heritage Foundation is dedicated to translating and printing the good books of our Lutheran faith so that all nations may know the love of Christ. In more than 140 languages, LHF provides Bible storybooks, small catechisms, devotion books, and more that proclaim the Easter message. Learn how you can help at lhfmissions.org.
Listening to the Lutheran Ladies Lounge podcast. I'm Sarah.
I'm Erin.
And I'm Rachel.
Today is Rachel's Trivia Challenge.
And I'm in it to win it today. I am sure. I'm sure that today is my day.
It's a fight zone over here today. This is a part two.
Part two, yeah.
So Rachel, what are we doing?
So back at the beginning of the church year, first Sunday of Advent, we did a trivia challenge on the church year. Happy New Year.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But then I realized it was too big of a topic to fit in one episode. So we said, we'll just put a pin in this for now and come back around when we get to the end of the content from that trivia challenge and tackle the rest of the church year. So that's what we're doing today. We are keeping our promises. And given that you guys did actually really amazingly well on the first part of the church year, I'm a little afraid that this may be a walk in the park for you. Tried to throw in a couple of stumpers, but you guys are really good at this, and so are a lot of our readers. So hopefully this will be one of those trivia challenges where you guys listening along at home are, you know, pleasantly surprised at how smart you are, because you are.
Sure, you can have a few.
Maybe I'm just blowing smoke here, and you guys are going to come out of this going, that was really hard. What is wrong with you?
That's entirely possible.
Let's find out.
All right, let's find out. So finally, this episode is dropping the Friday before Pentecost. Mm-hmm. We've got Pentecost and Trinity Sunday on the horizon, and we are coming to the end of the festival season of the church year.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Advent was hopeful. Christmas was joyful. Epiphany was radiant. Lent was hard. Holy Week was also hard, but like in a good way, you know? Mm-hmm. And Easter, Easter has been every good thing.
Yes.
But after all those festivals, you get kind of tired, right? Okay. Ready for a good long stretch of the calendar where nothing very special happens. Because you can't party every day.
Yeah.
So this is what we are talking about today, a trivia challenge on the other half of the church year, affectionately dubbed Ordinary Time. And we'll talk more about that in a minute.
Yes.
But before we get to Ordinary Time, it's like that spot on your calendar where, like, you've had really fun things happening day after day after day after day after day, and you finally get to a Saturday with nothing happening.
Yes.
It's so sweet.
Saturday. It's the best.
Like, God is so good to give us this wonderful calendar where we've got lots of parties, but we've also got built-in downtime.
Uh-huh.
It's wonderful.
I'm ready
But before we get to...
Yep.
Before we get to that downtime, we have two more festivals to celebrate beginning this Sunday. So let's start there, shall we?
Hey.
Yes.
Okay. Question number one. This Sunday is the Feast of Pentecost, which takes its name from the Koine Greek word Pentecoste, literally 50th. It is the 50th day after Easter, not the most original name in history. But it isn't only and hasn't always been known as Pentecost. By what other name has the Feast of Pentecost commonly been known, especially in English-speaking countries?
I thought I was going to know this question, and I absolutely don't.
I'm gonna go with...
Wasn't it the Feast of Weeks?
Or yeah, it does. We're getting to that one.
Oh, yes. Sorry. Spoiling your quiz for you. Sorry. I have no idea.
I'm going to go with...
I thought you guys would know this.
Holy Spirit Day?
Yeah, ooh, that's a good choice. I'm going to go with Flame Day.
Flame Day. Flame Day. I'm sure our friend Flame the Rapper will love that.
It's his Saint Day.
I'm actually genuinely surprised. I thought
we're gonna be like,
What is it?
Well, Whitsun.
Oh,
Whitsun Day.
Yeah, I do know. Okay,
I have read that. I never knew it was Pentecost.
Whitsun Day.
Yes,
W-A. It is.
Right? Oh, I've read this in Jane Austen books.
Yeah. Yeah.
So if you're Pentecost,
if you're ever reading any reference to Whitsun or Whitsun Day, it is Pentecost. Oh, and Whit Monday is the day after Pentecost.
Oh, that makes a lot of sense. Okay.
So this name, according to one interpretation, this Whitsun comes from white, since it's a day that was commonly used for baptisms and confirmation, you know, reflects the white garments worn by catechumens.
Yeah.
I've also seen it explained that there's an old saying, good men and women, as you know and will all, this day is called Whitsun Day. For because that the Holy Ghost as this day brought wit and wisdom unto all Christ's disciples.
All right. Okay.
So this particular Augustinian canon, John Merck, living in the 14th century, thought that it was from W-I-T, not W-H-I-T, showing that God gave us his wisdom when he poured out his spirit upon us, which is a nice one too. Yeah. Yeah. Either way, Whit Sunday is Pentecost.
Okay. Maybe I won't forget that now.
Okay. So I think this one you might have an easier time with. Number two, true or false?
Oh boy.
Christians invented Pentecost.
What? False.
False?
No.
Is this God a trick question?
It. God invented it.
It was already a festival before the Christians. We just called it different.
It was. Yes. So
but it wasn't the 50th day festival.
Actually, it was celebrated 7 weeks and one day after the first day of Passover.
Yeah, Feast of Weeks.
Feast of Weeks, also known as Shavuot. It's a harvest festival, which is ties in beautifully with Pentecost.
Yeah.
You know, that here we have the harvest.
Pentecost even before first Spirit Sunday?
No, it was not.
It got that, the number name, it came later, but the number... involvement had already been there.
Yes, the concept of a significant holy day 50 days after Passover was well established.
That's why everyone was gathered in Jerusalem for that festival. Yeah.
Good job. You got that one right. One wrong, one right. Okay. Okay, let's make this a little easier, a little more fun. We've played two truths and a lie. Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
We're going to play three truths and a lie because I found three true things and I wanted to include them.
Okay.
All right, so we did a true-false question. Now we're going to figure out some more true-false. I'm going to tell you three true ways in which Pentecost has been celebrated around the world. And I'm going to tell you one false way.
Oh, boy.
And you get to decide which three are legit and which one is not.
Yeah, this was hard when you did this.
Okay. So, first one. In the Middle Ages, cathedrals and great churches throughout Western Europe were fitted with a special architectural feature known as a Holy Ghost hole. This was a small circular opening in the roof through which a dove might be lowered through into the church, like not a real dove, but like a dove figurine. On Pentecost Sunday.
Oh.
And that Holy Ghost holes still exist. Okay. Huh. This is option number one.
Are you able to easily... Well, we'll circle back. Never mind. Keep going. Number two.
Okay.
Option number two.
In traditional Eastern European villages, Christians traditionally don elaborate headwear, whose name I can't pronounce, for Pentecost, featuring a miniature Paschal candle on top. And then they pass flames to one another while chanting a litany based on the prayer, Veni Spiritus Sanctus. This ritual reminds me very much of both St. Lucia Day and, you know, Christmas Eve when we pass the candles around.
But it seems
quite sensible. Okay. All right. Number three, in Sicily, in the Italian peninsula, they have a tradition of throwing rose petals from the galleries over the congregation down on their heads to recall the tongues of fire.
Hmm.
And in modern times, this practice sometimes is done using origami doves.
Oh. Hmm. Okay.
That sounds fun.
And then finally, in the northwest of England, church and chapel parades called wit walks still take place sometime either on Whit Friday, Whit Sunday, somewhere in that time. Huh. And typically the parades include brass bands and choirs, girls wearing white, even Morris dancing, if you've ever seen that done before. This all takes place during a wit walk.
Wit walk.
A wit walk. All right.
Wow.
So it's which of these
are all really tricky?
Four options.
Uh-huh.
Three are correct. One I made up. We've got the Holy Ghost hole. We've got the Paschal headwear. Mm-hmm. We've got the rose petal tongues of fire.
Mm-hmm.
And we've got the wit walk.
Wit walk.
I'm going with the hole in the roof because that's just super not practical.
I'm going to go with the rose petals.
Ah.
That's, yeah.
I feel so happy right now.
It's one of the other two. Let's narrow it down.
Wit walk.
So wit walk or the Paschal headgear?
Paschal headgear. I mean, I guess that one's not super practical either. Because you totally set people on fire.
And I feel like I would have heard, but it's in the Middle Ages. It's not so practiced today. I don't know. I'll go with the Paschal headgear, I guess.
One of us is going to be right.
Okay. Yeah, it was the Paschal headgear. Yay! I made that one up and I'm so proud of it. Now I want to try it.
Wow.
That was impressive.
But the beautiful thing is that these other traditions are totally legit. Like this is, there's a wonderful picture on Wikipedia of Holy Ghost Hole in European church. Canterbury Cathedral apparently has one.
Really? Now, whenever we go, we're going to have to be like, we visit a church in England or Europe. And we're like, okay, but does this one have a Holy Ghost hole?
Do you have a Holy Ghost hole? Because I need to know.
Also,
I need to know how they cover it because that's really impractical to have a roof with a hole in it.
I bet it has like a special little
cover covering.
I don't know. My research did not go that deep.
I need to know.
I just thought it was a cool thing. All right. Well, follow up. Let us know.
Call up a cathedral and ask them.
But I love the fact
that... And is it like over the altar or is it over...
I already told you I didn't research this like comprehensively.
We need details,
okay.
Rachel.
Okay. All right. We'll circle back to that one.
Yeah.
But what I really love about this is that we've got churches throughout history like finding ways to make this story come alive for people.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
To really celebrate it in tangible ways.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And make a big deal of it. Because when the Holy Ghost comes down, that's a big deal.
That is.
So, hooray.
Hooray.
However, it's time to move on. There's a lot of church calendar left to go. And we haven't even made it out of the festival season yet. So welcome to Trinity Sunday. Are we sure it's still festival season festival?
Okay.
But it is. This is the last one, and it's a big one.
I love this one.
Yes. So, Aaron and Sarah, question four. What creed do we bring out for Trinity Sunday, and usually Trinity Sunday only?
Athanasian Creed! It's my favorite creed!
It's a beautiful creed.
We should say it more often.
Did you ever succeed in memorizing that? Wasn't that your project one year?
I did not. It was a project, and we failed.
I got about halfway through it. I would get to the second half every time. I tried at least two or three times, and... The rhythm changes in the second half, and I just couldn't get it. Maybe this is the year. Maybe I should do it again.
Maybe. It was a good project. I did not try to follow along with that.
Yeah. We do post it, though, a plug for KFUO Social over the summer, like starting around Trinity Sunday, depending on when Catechesis Friday stuff shakes out. I do post it through the whole summer in bits and pieces. So there's your memorization cues for you.
Nice.
Yeah.
Okay. While we're on Trinity Sunday, number five, true or false, Athanasius wrote the Athanasian Creed.
False.
You are correct. It definitely pulls from theological concepts that Athanasius helped clarify and articulate for the church. But probably originally it wasn't called a creed at all. And his name was not attached to it. Yeah. However, we have this strong declaration of Trinitarian faith, and it is such a gift. So whoever wrote it, pulling on the work of Athanasius, thank you.
Yes.
And it is a bit of a long creed, but it's really, really good to see the great mystery of the Trinity spelled out in as great a detail as we can actually muster with our puny human brains.
Yeah, it's a great creed.
Okay, one more true and false question before we move out of this section. Okay. True or false, ordinary time starts on Trinity Sunday.
Oh, no. I'm going to go with false.
My brain froze.
What does your altar guild instinct tell you?
True.
You're both right.
What?
That's a trick question.
You knew there'd be one in there.
Surprise!
It depends on which lectionary you use.
Of course it does.
Okay.
In the historic one-year lectionary, and this was tough for me because my husband, he used the one-year lectionary when he was a parish pastor, and I had grown up with the three-year lectionary. So this was so super confusing to me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
If you use the historic one-year lectionary, the season of Holy Trinity is what they call the big giant chunk of ordinary time.
Yep.
And it starts on Trinity Sunday.
Okay.
If you follow the three-year lectionary, Pentecost kicks off ordinary time, and you have the season after Pentecost. Yep. So whether your church is in Trinity Tide or Pentecost season depends on what lectionary you use.
Yes.
Okay.
As so many other things do, actually. And both lectionaries are great gifts to us. So whichever you use, happy ordinary time.
Mm-hmm.
And yes, we finally made it to ordinary time.
Green season.
Question seven.
What do we call it?
Why do we call it ordinary season?
Because it's not festival season?
I think it has to do with like numbers, like ordinal.
Oh. Give that girl a raise.
Yes! Yes!
You really are in it to win it today.
Yes.
Well, it's more.
So, especially if you use that historic lectionary, and we've talked about this before, you know that a lot of Sundays in the festival season have names. Laetare, Quasimodogenity.
Yes.
I totally mispronounced that. Let me try that again. Quasimodogenity. Got it.
Yes.
Populus Zion.
Septuagesima.
Septuagesima.
Quinquagesima.
The ordinary time Sundays are named by their number.
Yes, they are.
Oh.
Yes. Yes, so we have the second Sunday after Trinity, the 10th Sunday after Trinity, the 20th Sunday after Trinity, you know. It's and so this is actually where it comes from. Now, of course, it is ordinary as opposed to not festival, but that isn't where it comes from originally. And I think that's really cool.
That is.
These numbers.
It's so ordinary. That it would be named ordinary after
Yes. So, Sarah, you already mentioned that green goes on the altar in ordinary time.
Mm-hmm.
Why green?
That's a great question. I don't know that I know.
We got to come up with an answer, though.
I know. Because green is for life. Yes.
Yeah. Life of the church. It's about the life of the church together.
There we go. That's a great answer.
I'll take it, actually.
Hey! Yeah.
Life and growth. A lot of the readings from this time have to do with, you know, teaching about the growth of the church.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Sometimes this season is called, we talk about the time of Christ versus the time of the church.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
This mm-hmm. is churchy time. This is churchy. When we are learning and growing and becoming mature in our faith. Mm-hmm. Alongside, yeah. by the way, the green growing things around us.
Yeah.
You know, so this season of ordinary time, and I should qualify here, certain Sundays in Epiphany, well, Epiphany is also ordinary time mm-hmm. because it's not festival time. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's not feasting, it's not fasting. Mm-hmm. But normally when we talk about ordinary time, we talk about that long span of Sundays
yeah.
between Trinity and Advent. Yeah. And during this time, we also see the growing season of crops, mm-hmm. you know? So it really yeah. links together nicely. Doesn't always yeah. work in the Southern Hemisphere. Sorry.
Yeah.
yeah.
Anyone in Australia. But yeah, it's green. It's growing.
Okay.
It's beautiful.
Yeah.
There are, of course, exceptions to every rule. Here's question 9.
Oh, boy.
Altar Guild experts, when do you not see green on the altar during ordinary time?
Saint days are red.
Reformation.
Yeah.
Yeah. On a feast day. We have feasts even in ordinary time.
Yes.
And then you will see the pyramids change just for one Sunday. So
yeah.
Thank you, Altar Guild.
uh-huh. Yeah. Ooh.
And this brings us to part 2 of this trivia challenge.
Ooh.
Feasts and commemorations.
Yes.
Okay.
On which we remember key events and notable people who have shaped our faith today. Question 10. But wait a minute. Do Lutherans celebrate Saints' Days?
Yes.
Yes.
Yes, we do. Not in the same way, perhaps, that Roman Catholics especially do, but we do. I'm going to actually read an excerpt from our hymnal, page XII in the fore part mm-hmm. of the hymnal on commemorations. Augsburg Confession 21, our churches teach that the remembrance of the saints is to be commended in order that we may imitate their faith and good works according to our calling. The Lutheran reformers understood that there was great benefit in remembering the saints whom God has given to his church. The Apology of the Augsburg Confession, Article 21, gives 3 reasons for such honor. First, we thank God for giving faithful servants to his church. Second, through such remembrance, our faith is strengthened as we see the mercy that God extended to his saints of old. And third, these saints are examples by which we may imitate both their faith and their holy living according to our calling in life. So yes, while we do not pray to saints, we do not venerate saints, we do remember them and thank God for them and seek to follow in their footsteps. And so it's great to take time to actually do that in specific ways. This was another thing that was new to me when I was a grown-up Lutheran that I did not quite get when I was a young person. Mm-hmm. But now I really have come to value and appreciate being aware of and learning the stories of the faithful who have gone before.
Yeah.
So we have these special days to celebrate. And some of our feast days commemorate people.
Mm-hmm.
For example, the Feast of St. Stephen on December 26th, or the Feast of St. Bartholomew on August 24th. Some of them commemorate events, especially in the life of Christ, like January 1st, the circumcision and name of Jesus, or perhaps October 31st, Reformation Day.
Reformation.
Mm-hmm.
And we also have commemorations, which might include things like June 25th, presentation of the Augsburg Confession.
Yeah.
Or, you know, September 4th, the commemoration of Moses, who is pretty cool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So how do we keep all these feasts and commemorations separate? There's something that all the people we commemorate on festival days have in common. Can you guess what it is?
They're in the Bible? Well,
except we just had commemoration of Moses.
Wait, commemorations versus, what's the,
feasts.
Feasts and commemorations are on separate pages in the hymnal? Is that what it
is? Yes, they are. Mm-hmm.
Can you read a few of the, can you give us just a few more?
Like that would give it away.
Read the same ones that you just had.
So I read St. Bartholomew, St. Stephen, Circumcision in Name of Jesus.
Okay.
Reformation Day.
Mm-hmm. And then we had commemoration of Moses.
Commemoration is Moses. Mm-hmm. Bartholomew is also in the Bible, so that doesn't work.
The Augsburg Confession.
You know, I have always wondered this, and I don't think I actually know.
We got to come up with something, though. Come on, let's use our brains. She said it would give it away if she read more of them. So
I know, and I can't remember what's on the other pages.
Should be able to do this.
Early church celebrated some of them, and so we follow those as one of them.
It's not bad.
Closer?
Oh.
Closer. I don't know.
Jesus celebrated some of them?
No. You had it closest when you said early church. These are all New Testament saints.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah, that makes sense. Okay.
They are all...
Bartholomew's New Testament. Uh-huh.
Yes, they are all... Now, some of them, you know, such as St. Michael and All Angels, or, you know, obviously Reformation Day breaks the mold. But if you look through all of the people who are commemorated on feast days, they are all New Testament.
Okay. Interesting.
So key people in the formation of the church.
Okay. Oh, yeah. Okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Now, I'm going here from our Lutheran service book, by the way. There are so many websites out there with so many saints and feast days on them.
Yep.
But it is sort of a Lutheran thing to sort of look at what is the essential and strip away the extras. And so that's what our hymnal has done very helpfully. And that's what I'm doing here, which does limit the list. But you can find many, 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 many more saints than are listed on page XI of our hymnal.
Yes.
And different denominations celebrate them on different days sometimes, too.
True.
Our saint days don't always match with the Orthodox.
And some churches, you know, do many more of these feast days than others. Yeah. The footnote down below lists a few different feasts that are generally observed when they occur on a Sunday, other festivals observed according to local custom and practice. So that an individual church may decide, okay, we're going to stick with the lectionary this Sunday, or it just happens to be St. Peter and St. Paul Apostles falls on this day. So we're going to switch up our readings and remember those fathers of the church.
Okay. Yeah.
There is, however, one of these feasts in particular that has played a rather key part in both the liturgical and the secular calendar in years past, serving as a marker inside that long Trinity season between summer and autumn. Can you think of what feast that might be? And spoiler alert, I just said it a couple of minutes ago if you were listening.
You did. That's not St. Stephen.
No, that's St. Stephen is the day after Christmas.
Yeah, it's December.
Yeah.
Wait, summer and autumn, that's in...
That would be like September. What would be a feast in either late August to October?
Oh, you said it and I can't remember. That wasn't Bartholomew, was it?
No.
It's Moses?
A feast. Wait, no, it's a feast. So it can't be Moses because he's a commemoration.
St. Michael and All Angels, that's September 29th.
That's it.
Yes.
That's it.
Yeah.
Commonly known, he got there eventually. So hard, smart cookies. Yeah. St. Michael and All Angels, also known as Michaelmas.
Yeah. Michaelmas.
Michaelmas is a traditional moment at which you sort of divide the summer from the fall. And it had some, in medieval times, had some sort of legal ramifications for, you know, bringing in taxes and tithes and things like that.
We need to do a Michaelmas party plan. We haven't done that yet, have we?
Oh, we haven't. That would be really fun.
Because there's actual like foods and stuff that you do on Michaelmas.
Yeah.
We had a Michaelmas party.
Oh, interesting.
That would be fun.
Stuff. Yeah.
Fun fact, if you are a subscriber to the print edition of Gottesdienst, you will have known this very much because they print 4 issues a year. Or is it 3 issues? But anyway, it's one of them is Michaelmas. They do Passion Tide and Easter, Christmas, and Michaelmas. So it's right there. Oh, and Trinity. That's it. They do 4 seasons.
Okay.
And so Michaelmas divides up that long Trinity season for us.
Yeah.
one of my goddaughters was baptized on Michaelmas, and it was a big deal. Mm. Her family loves Michaelmas. It's very exciting.
Angels are awesome.
Yeah.
Before we move on to commemorations,
okay,
there are only two women that show up in the Lutheran service book list of feast days, although one shows up sort of multiple times. Mm-hmm. Can you name those two women?
Mary.
Mary, definitely Mary. Mother of Jesus, Mary.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And then who would the other one be?
It isn't Mary Magdalene, is it?
It is Mary Magdalene.
Hey!
Yeah.
The other
so Mary, the mother of Jesus, has a feast day August 15th.
Yep.
But she also shows up February 2nd for the purification of Mary, March 25th for the Annunciation. And depending on which lectionary you use, either May 31st or July 2nd for the Visitation.
Mm. Yep.
And then Mary Magdalene, we see July 22nd.
Mm. Okay.
And I really love that because these women sort of show a broad range of faithful womanhood.
Yeah.
You know, Mary comes from this place of innocence, whereas Mary Magdalene comes from a really rough background. Mm-hmm. Both of them are just transformed by their encounter with Jesus.
Yeah.
And become this sort of set of bookends for female saints for us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Beautiful. Okay, commemorations. The list of commemorations is longer and broader.
Yeah.
So I haven't actually scripted this part. I'm just going to pick some random ones, and I'm going to ask if you can name the commemorated saint based on a short description.
Okay.
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 I'm ready.
And these really do run the gamut.
Yeah.
So we'll just start by saying this pair is the earliest historical commemoration.
Adam and Eve?
Yes. December 19th, we commemorate Adam and Eve.
Nice.
They were the first people after all.
They weren't. You know, you don't go back further than Adam and Eve. All right. These three separate days go to commemorate key founders of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod.
Walther?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Sasa?
No.
Leia?
Leia is another.
That's a good one. Wangerin. Winniken.
Winniken, you got it.
Yes!
So we commemorate Wilhelm Leia on January 2nd, Friedrich Winniken on May 4th, and CFW Walther on May 7th, which is, I like the inclusion of those men because it reminds me that this list isn't closed.
Ah.
Because they all lived, you know, 150 years ago, recently.
Yeah.
That any one of us could be a candidate for inclusion on a future hymnal list of commemorations. Something to aspire to, right?
Take.
Okay, let's do a couple more. All right. This woman and her son are commemorated on the same day, May 21st. He was a Christian ruler, and she was what you might call an archaeologist.
Monica?
No, that's in August.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
It's on our calendar.
Yeah.
Hint, hint. Spoiler alert. Let's see. Helen? Is that even one?
Wait.
I'll give it to you. Helena.
Helena.
Mother of Emperor Constantine.
Yeah.
That's what I was just going to say. Wasn't there a mom of somebody?
Yeah. And after he, you know, converted, according to tradition, she went around and sort of built churches on a lot of places where cool things had happened in Christian life. And that's one reason why we have so many sites from the life of Christ that we have a vague notion of where they are, because St. Helena went around the Holy Land asking questions
and officially.
Yeah, marking them.
Huh. That's cool.
That is.
Yeah, very cool. All right. On October 26th, we commemorate three notable Lutheran hymn writers.
Nikolai.
Gerhardt and Hermann.
Yes.
Very good. That is expert level right there.
Nice.
Nerd level is rising over here.
I was going to do St. Monica, but you guys spoiled that one for me.
Oh, sorry.
Ooh, on April 6th, we commemorate a pair of early Lutheran visual artists who helped share the faith with their art.
Cranach.
And?
Cranach. Cranach and Cranach, junior, senior. Aren't they both Cranachs?
No, I'm looking here for Lucas Cranach and Albrecht Dürer.
Dürer, of course.
Oh, I thought it was his son. I guess I'm remembering someone else.
I interviewed CHI about that commemoration. Yeah, I should know that.
Let's see. One more. These are fun. I could do this all
fun.
Day.
Uh-huh.
On September 22nd, we commemorate the life of an Old Testament prophet.
Elijah.
Who had a really nasty couple of days. Wait, that's all the Old Testament prophets.
Wait. Ezekiel.
Yeah, I'm going to have to give you more than that.
Jeremiah.
Really nasty couple of days until he got spit up.
Jonah.
Yes, we commemorate the prophet Jonah on September 22nd.
All the prophets had really bad days.
So if you want to see this cool calendar, open your nearest Lutheran service book to those pages in the beginning. We always flip right past XII and XIII, and you will see a cool calendar of commemorations that if you're looking for something special to think through and talk about on a certain day, there's a lot of days that are covered with some really, really cool saints, prophets, reformers, churchmen, women, all over the place. Very cool. All right. But we must move on.
Okay.
I know you guys hate these.
Oh, no.
But I had to have at least one short answer. There's no essay questions.
Gosh. Okay.
No essay questions, but we do have one short answer question. So I couldn't figure out another way to, this is why you always have short answer questions, because the teacher can't figure out another way to ask it. But we got to talk about it.
Okay.
So remember I mentioned that note at the bottom of the page of feasts saying that other days may be, quote, observed according to local custom and preference, end quote.
Yeah.
This has led to many churches celebrating what I'll call unofficial feast days that do not necessarily show up on the official lists of feasts and commemorations. Okay. Annual celebrations that may be synod-wide or maybe just a thing that their church does, maybe nationwide, but really function as unofficial feast days. Can you name any of these and when they might fall? I've got a couple in mind that I'll share, but I want to give you a shot first.
What kind of context? The birthday of the LCMS.
Yeah, I was thinking that one too.
Yeah, that might be. I've never seen that celebrated in a church, but I can see how you might want to do that.
We celebrate it here.
Do you? Yes.
In the building.
Exactly. That's exactly what I'm thinking of.
Yeah.
I mean, a church anniversary, but that's going to be different.
Yeah, that would be a good one.
Mm-hmm.
Thanksgiving.
Yeah, actually.
Yes.
That is not an official church calendar holiday. So the churches that celebrate Thanksgiving Day, that's an unofficial feast day.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And though some churches have some really cool traditions associated with celebrating Thanksgiving or Thanksgiving Eve.
I mean, that would make New Year's Day one too.
Yes.
Or New Year's Eve.
True. I mean, technically we ought to be celebrating the circumcision in name of Jesus on January 1st.
Yep. Yeah. I actually go January 1st to a church that does circumcision in name of Jesus, January 1st. New Year's Eve service at one church and circumcision in name of Jesus the next morning.
Cool. Well, here's a couple of others.
Yeah.
Life Sunday, January 21st, or that's when it's falling this coming year.
Yeah.
LWML Sunday, first Sunday in October.
Armed Forces Day. Armed Forces Day.
Yeah. Yes. A lot of churches will choose sort of one day, say Memorial Day or 4th of July or Veterans Day or Armed Forces Day to devote a little bit more attention to thanking God for our nation.
Yeah. Sure.
So in some churches, 4th of July is kind of an unofficial feast day. Mm-hmm. What about VBS Sunday?
Oh, yeah.
Rally Day.
Rally Day. Yes, that would be an unofficial feast day.
Oh, wait, our church feast day. We're having rally day and church picnic on the same day this year. It is an literal nice. Feast day for us.
Yeah. Nice. Stewardship Sunday in some churches. Okay. Yeah. It is what I would call an unofficial feast day.
Uh-huh. Yep.
So even though we have this list very helpfully laid out for us, it is definitely the prerogative of the church at large and individual congregations to set aside days to commemorate and focus on various things that are important. Mm-hmm. So yeah, this list may not be closed. Obviously, Easter, Christmas, those are not going anywhere.
Actual feasts.
Yeah. Yeah. But these other special days, these sort of one-off mm-hmm. commemorations, they can come and go.
Yeah.
But it's great to have the church setting aside time for things that are important. Well, we made it. We made it finally to the end of the church year.
Yes.
And the last Sunday of the church year.
Uh-huh. Okay. Okay.
Okay. So this is one of my favorite Sundays.
It's so good.
But I like it better in the one-year lectionary. Because in the one-year lectionary, there is the same gospel reading and the same hymn of the day every year. On mm-hmm. last Sunday, and you can look forward to it like clockwork.
Okay. Yes.
So here's my question for you. What is that historically assigned gospel reading for the last Sunday in the church year? And what is the hymn that we sing to go with it?
Okay, hang on a second. I do not go to a church that does the one-year lectionary. So here's uh-huh. what I say. Sarah, you get to pick one of those to answer. And I get to see if I can guess based on your answer what the other one is.
I think now, I should say that you will get this reading and this hymn in the 3-year lectionary, but you will only get it once every 3 yeah. years yeah. rather than every year.
It's Lo, He Comes with Clouds Descending, isn't it? No.
No.
Oh, then I don't know that I know.
That must just be your church's like tradition. They always do that one on that Sunday.
Well, we're not
Sunday.
A one-year lectionary yeah. church either.
Oh, okay.
And most churches nowadays aren't. Okay. This is just a weird little thing that I love.
I know what it is. And I had a conversation with someone about this, and I can't remember it now.
Did Johann Sebastian Bach? There's your clue.
Oh, it must be.
Oh no!
Oh, sacred head not wounded.
Oh no, no, I'm kicking myself because okay. I know this. It's in my brain folds.
What's another one that he did? Wake, awake, for night is
that
flying.
One. Yes, that one.
You got it.
Right, yes. Girls and virgins.
Yes, Matthew 25.
LSB 5:16.
1 through 13 is the assigned gospel reading.
Like, sheep may safely graze. I'm like, no, that can't be right.
Yeah, and that I love this because that wonderful Bach cantata,
yeah,
Wacket auf, wake awake, uh-huh. for night is flying, the watchmen on the heights are crying. I think I butchered that yeah. quote, but yes, this wonderful imagery. And I mentioned that here partly because I really like it, and occasionally I can be self-indulgent, but partly because I love that the gospel reading that is most traditionally associated with the last Sunday of the church year stars 10 women. For our Lutheran ladies out there, I'm always looking for the ladies.
Yep.
Yeah.
And I love that Christ told a story about wise and foolish young women to illustrate how we ought to be as we wait for his return.
Mm-hmm.
It just makes it that much more personal. I love that so many of the parables do include women somehow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because it makes me know that we belong fully.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And if anyone's ever been a bridesmaid, you know the excitement that goes along with that.
Yeah.
And to take that feeling and transfer it to the much greater excitement mm-hmm. that we will encounter when the bridegroom does appear.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, it's so beautiful. So yes, last Sunday of the church year, end times, Christ is coming, and all that creed that we confess is true
and
solid. Oh, what a way to go.
Mm-hmm. Good stuff.
And what a way to end this second church year trivia challenge. How'd you guys do?
pretty good.
Yeah, but yeah, you had a lot of challenging questions for us, as you always do.
It was a nice mix of not knowing and definitely knowing.
Yeah, I don't think it was like, it was not an easy, I would not categorize that as a slam dunk home run trivia experience.
No.
Good. Got to keep you on your toes. I'm just still giggling over here that I managed to pull one over on you with those ridiculous Pascal Candle headwear things. The clue was, I can't pronounce it because it's from Eastern Europe. The real answer was, I couldn't think of a name that would actually convince you that these are legit.
But, I mean, it's also very realistic.
There's
very hard to pronounce Eastern European words.
It's true.
They're very hard.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
So to conclude, I've said it before, but I'll say it again. We human beings, we need holidays. Mm-hmm. We need feasts and fasts and seasons to break up the otherwise endless monotony of our days. And through the church calendar, the church has given us that. In the Old Testament, God gave the feasts and fasts directly to his people. In the New Testament, we look back at the things that God has done, and we remember them with our calendar. And we would be fools not to accept that gift. Because when we let our holy days go, we find ourselves with a whole bunch of ho-hum secular holidays instead. I looked up timeanddate.org. They always list the key holidays for every day of the year. And so today, according to Time and Date, is National Defense Transportation Day.
Okay.
Doesn't that sound fun? Tomorrow is the Preakness Stakes. Huh. Those of you who like horse racing.
Yeah.
Onto the calendar.
All right.
Wednesday, we just celebrated Peace Officers Memorial Day, which is worthy, yes.
Yeah.
And next Wednesday, we will celebrate Emergency Medical Services for Children Day.
Okay.
Or National Maritime Day. Take your pick.
Okay.
But this is what we do as humans. We look at the calendar and we try to put rhythm into it. And we can either do it with a church calendar or we can do it with, you know, National Defense Transportation Day and all of its cohorts.
Yeah.
So I love preserving the old days and seasons because they give us, I think, a much more meaningful and faith-filled way to shape our understanding of the days and the months and the years. So thanks for letting me nerd out about it a little bit.
Yeah.
This is really fun.
It was fun.
Always fun. These trivias are always fun.
Yes.
But ladies, we want to know how you did. And we'll post some of these questions on our Instagram page so you can answer them too. Although I guess if you've listened, you know your answers. So that's where does it? Never mind.
Stump your friends. Share them and stump your friends.
There you go. Tag your friends and see if they know things. You can join our conversation about this episode in our Facebook group, the Lutheran Ladies Lounge on Facebook. And like I just said, our Instagram page at Lutheran Ladies Lounge will post some fun trivia about the church year in the next week or so. You can find all of our episodes at KFUO.org/Lutheran Ladies Lounge or on your favorite podcasting app or on the KFUO radio app. You're listening to the Lutheran Ladies Lounge podcast. I'm Sarah.
I'm Erin.
And I'm Rachel.
Views and opinions expressed on the Lutheran Ladies Lounge podcast may not represent the official position of the management or ownership of KFUO Radio, the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. The Lutheran Ladies Lounge is produced by KFUO Radio and available at KFUO.org or wherever you get your podcasts. Don't forget to hit that subscribe button and leave a review for us too. If you love the Lutheran Ladies Lounge podcast, consider financially supporting our producer, KFUO Radio, so we can keep doing what we do. Find out how at kfuo.org/give. The Lutheran Ladies Lounge podcast is underwritten in part by Lutheran Heritage Foundation. LHF translates, publishes, distributes, and introduces books that are Bible-based, Christ-centered, and Reformation-driven. Learn more about their global ministry and how to support their projects at lhfmissions.org.